Okay, so welcome everybody. This is our final guest call of the workshop, and we have our February workshopees and alums from the past two sessions on the call and or listening to the recording later on today. So I'm very, very happy to have Lauren Forrest with us today of Shifting into Genius and Word Perfectionist. So hi, Lauren. Welcome.
Hi, Christy. Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Lauren does at Word Perfectionist, and then we'll dip into what we're really talking about today. So at Word Perfectionist, Lauren is a copywriter, and she's also an editor. So we've talked a little bit about the differences between those two kind of editing fields, and she actually does both of them. So I will send you the links to her site with the recording so that you can check out exactly what she has to offer. She has some on-call editing services along with her copywriting services that could be really beneficial when you get to that point with your PDFs and with future ebooks, et cetera, et cetera. So, but we're really not here to talk about editing today. We're here to talk about Lauren's other expertise and her other site, which is Shifting into Genius. And I wanted Lauren to come talk because I see some issues coming up again and again within the workshop and also just out in general in our lives. Worry, self-doubt, critical voices, obstacles when you're learning new programs. Those things that say, is this going to look good enough? Is this going to suck? Is somebody going to make fun of the way my PDF looks? Thoughts that really derail the progress that everybody's making in the workshop. So Lauren has a really, what I think is a unique approach to tackling some of these obstacles that we run into and these negative feedback loops, which she calls the genius effect. And she developed this approach while dealing with her own really serious health issues. So with that really short kind of intro to everything that Lauren does, I'm going to hand it over to her, and she's going to kind of set the stage for us and tell us a little bit more about herself and then give us some tools to help us when we hit an obstacle and get stuck in a negative loop. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Lauren.
Okay, well, thank you, Christy. And yeah, like you mentioned, I do several things. I do the Word Perfectionist work, the copywriting and the editing. And this other project that we're going to talk about today called Shift into Genius, well, let me back up for a second. The copywriting and the editing I've been doing for about 20 years. I kind of got started many years ago as a director of corporate communications in downtown Seattle, and there's always been a really substantial part of everything that I've done that includes writing and or editing, and so that's kind of been with me for quite a while. And interestingly enough, though, that I've kind of, that's the work that I do in that regard is really, I'm making the customer shine. I'm making the client shine. And right, I've essentially been able to kind of hide behind making everybody else look good. So a couple years ago, I really had to deal with a really major challenge in my life. And in the process of doing that, I came to really just feel like it was time for me to start teaching some of the other things, the more personal things, the more close to my heart things that I had been working with for many, many years privately. And so that was really kind of the beginning of the Shift into Genius course. And essentially, it started, you know, the learning behind it and the understanding behind it started many, many, many years ago, and most importantly, back in 1995, actually, when I was diagnosed with epilepsy. And you can read more about that. Actually, I have a my personal website is laurenforrest.com, and I have an interesting story that talks about that a little bit. But the gist of what I'm getting at is that it was a complete. I had to basically completely transform my life, including the way that I thought about things, the way that I approached things, everything, in order to A, train my body and to stop having as many seizures, and B, create a completely different reality based on the thoughts that I was thinking and the emotions that I was feeling, because actually the type of epilepsy that I was diagnosed with leaves people essentially housebound. I won't go into the details, but essentially you take on a different state of consciousness, and you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who you are. And I found myself literally in downtown Seattle. I would kind of come out of the seizure episodes and find myself roaming around downtown Seattle in all kinds of bizarre places. And it was just really an eye-opening and well, eye-opening is kind of an understatement. It was so serious that I completely had to stop everything I was doing and spend a couple years just essentially doing kind of a reboot on my life and teaching myself new skills. And so that's really kind of where it all started. And like I said, you can read an interesting, more heartfelt story about that on a pretty short story on laurenforrest.com. It really kind of gets to how some of those changes began to happen, which in general terms was a result of working with an award-winning service dog. So I had all these amazing experiences that really helped me create a brand new life and a brand new reality and a brand new way of thinking about things. And so over the years, in the process of working on that, developing those skills and developing those tools and the mindset and the kind of emotional shifts, some of the core nuggets I turned into this course called Shift into Genius in part, in large part because, a few years ago I was actually doing, I was going through another hard challenge and I was seeing a counselor at the time, and I was telling her some of the systems and some of the approaches that I was using to help myself get through a difficult time and get out of some negative thought loops and fear-based thought loops. And when I started telling her what I was doing, she kept asking me, can I use that for a client? Can I use that for a client? Do you mind if I borrow that? And that was really, the moment where I thought, oh, you know, maybe I should put together a class around this. And so that's how that all began several years ago. So that kind of ties everything together. This course is more my labor of love and kind of a personal part of my personal evolution. So with that introduction, I will just kind of jump into the things that I put together to share with your group here, if that's okay.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
So essentially, like you mentioned a minute ago, you asked me to come and talk to the group about how to shift out of those fear-based thoughts, things like worry and self-doubt and criticism, et cetera, et cetera. And if you think about it and do distill it down, they really are fear-based. They're rooted in fear. You know, fears like, I'm not good enough, this work isn't good enough, this isn't worthy enough, you know, does this have value, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so in terms of the work people are doing in this class, it shows up as self-criticism of your work. You know, is this going to be laughed at? Is this going to, you know, offend people? Is there too much information? Is there too little information? Et cetera, et cetera. I think you also described it pretty well, Christy. So to shift out of those fear-based thoughts, we have to go somewhere else, right? So where can we go when we make that shift? Well, we can go to a place of creativity. We can go to a place of newness. We can go to a place that offers us a new way of looking at things. In other words, a new perspective. Or, in still other words, a place of genius. In other words, your own personal genius. Now, before we get too far, I actually want to pause for a moment and talk about that word genius, because for some of us, and sometimes, we can end up having some baggage around that word genius. So I'm going to really clarify and say right now that I'm not talking about IQ. And so the way that we'll use that word throughout the rest of our session today is we're not talking about IQ, because actually genius has a much more broad and much more powerful meaning, including things like exceptional and transcendent and, in other words, beyond the norm. And I like to think about it in terms of being untangled with the current situation or your current perspective, or, in a sense, a different dimension than where your starting point was. So, in other words, a place of openness and receptivity to new ideas and new experiences. And so that, to me, I think is a much more powerful understanding and experience of genius, being able to shift into that place of openness and receptivity to new ideas and new experiences. So in terms of your work together with Christy in the class, it's essentially a place of allowing yourself to get yourself and your work out into the world in bright new ways. So, now, before I go any further, I'm going to stop for a second and we're going to do a quick little exercise. So what I'd like you to do is essentially just grab a sheet of paper or a post-it note or something nearby, something that you can write on physically rather than your computer, because we want to do the physical part of the writing. So I'd like you to spend just a second and pick an issue that you're stuck in, where you're having those fear-based thoughts. And for the purposes of this course, it would be probably a really good idea to use it, to put it in terms of your PDF projects. So just spend a minute, you know, identifying what it is, that self-criticism, those voices of fear and doubt and not being good enough, et cetera, et cetera. So think about that just for a second and write it down. And as you're writing it down, just spend just an easy couple of seconds just tuning in to your body and what it feels like to dredge up the thought loop, as well as what it's feeling like to think about it. So notice what's going on in your body. You know, are you clenching your jaw? Is your stomach getting tight? Is your lower back getting tight? Just wherever, however it shows up physically, just take a second to notice it and jot that down too. So, okay, what we're going to do now is essentially just set that aside. So I'm going to assume everybody's had a second just to do that, and we're going to continue, and then we'll come back to that in a minute. So you can set that aside. So now let's go back to the idea of fear. And here's a really important key. And I hope that this is as transformational for you as it was for me, because this represented a huge shift in my life when I personally realized this for myself, and then I started helping myself in this very new and wonderful ways. In fact, again, you can read a short story about it on my website. I talk more about it on laurenforrest.com. So one of the things that, and you know, part of this was the whole evolution of me having to think and think about myself and treat myself differently. And one of the things that I want to talk about is noticing how the current language out there around fear sounds a lot like this. We read things about how we're going to kick fear to the curb, you know, we're going to smash through fear, we're going to bust through this, and et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot of bravado and heroicism and kind of the Rocky Stallone approach, you know, in the tone, and yeah, we're going to crash through it and smash it. Now, that's a tone for sure, and it's an approach for sure, and it might work for some people, at least to some degree. But here's a really important challenge with that, because that tone and that approach actually sets up a conflict within yourself. In a sense, it actually puts you at war with yourself because all of this is going on inside of yourself. In other words, your feeling of being afraid, and yet at the same time, the criticism you're having of yourself for having those very feelings, right? In a sense, it's combative toward yourself, which actually only adds more fear and only adds more antagonism, and it can actually escalate the feelings that you're feeling tangled up in. So here's the key that I discovered, that I realized, that any time we fight against something or wrestle with it, we basically stay attached to it. Our energy stays bound up with it. In other words, we stay tangled up with it. And like I said, many times when we have this wrestling match, we actually add energy into this negative situation and we can even intensify it. So the same goes when we're trying to shift out of our fear-based thoughts and essentially all negative thinking. When we say things like we're going to smash through it or kick it to the curb, things like that are just very, very harsh. And what I discovered is how non-loving those types of thoughts and ideas and approaches are. In a sense, it's almost self-punishing because it implies that we're doing something wrong. And it adds to that feeling of self-blame and self-criticism. But the thing is, you're not doing anything wrong when you become afraid. Fear is actually a part of you. In fact, it's an important and normal part of you. And it's a part of you that's trying to communicate with another part of you as a signal, right? As a signal that there's something going on that's just trying to alert you to pay attention to. So here's a really important first step, is that recognizing that it is, in fact, normal to have a reaction that's uncomfortable when you go into an uncomfortable situation. Not only is it normal, it's actually a healthy thing when your reaction matches the situation, right? It's essentially an important part of self-protection. It's a protective mechanism, pure and simple. So the good news is you can stop beating yourself up anytime it happens, because essentially part of you is trying to communicate with another part of you. And it's actually, if you dig down deeper, coming from a place of love and protection, because it's you signaling to you that there's something going on that needs to be paid attention to. The challenge is, however, when we get stuck there, the challenge is that that can become our default pattern. You know, those fear-based thought loops can become the norm, which is a glitch that many of us have. When we have an uncomfortable reaction to an uncomfortable situation, which, like I mentioned, is normal, but then we get triggered into that negative thought loop and we stay there. And again, much of this has just become a habit over time. So here's more good news. Staying in those negative thought loops is not totally your fault either, in a kind of a general sense. I can't really go into it today because we don't have enough time, but there's actually a neurological reason why that actually happens. It's how your brain is actually wired. Now, like I said, we can't go into it today, but I just really think it's important for you to know that there actually is a neurological reason why we can get caught up in those negative and upsetting cycles of emotion, which keep us trapped in basically thinking about more of them and more of them, keeping us entangled in those same old dead-end, self-limiting, fearful ways. Which means even more good news, because you can now stop criticizing yourself when it happens and put all of your energy and attention into learning how to shift out of it and have that become your new default habit. In other words, develop the skills of being able to shift out of those fear-based thought loops when they start to happen. So, I'm going to pause there for a second and catch our breath and go back to the quick little exercise we did a few minutes ago. So what I'd like for you to do is get a hold of that sheet of paper where you wrote those things down, and I'm going to ask you a question about what you wrote down. So kind of get that back into your active thinking right now, and here's the question. How would you categorize this particular issue that you wrote down? And I'm going to give you several choices to choose from. Would you call it a problem? In other words, a question or a situation that represents an uncertainty, a puzzle, or a dilemma. Would you call it an obstacle? In other words, something that's blocking you or opposing your progress toward your goal. Would you call it an internal struggle? In other words, thoughts and feelings of, you know, fear and self-doubt, and et cetera, criticism. Or would you call it a mix of any of the above items that I listed? Now, it may not be a perfect match, but just go with what seems like it's the best fit. So I'll give you just a second to think about that for real quick. And now I would like you to notice how you're feeling about all of that, and especially how you felt when you started evaluating what type of thought it was or what category it fell under, because it may be subtle, but there's actually a really good chance that you felt a slightly different feeling now when you started to categorize that negative thought loop than when you were first thinking about it and embroiled with it and writing it down. In fact, this experiment is important because it shows us an important process. By the simple act of shifting your thinking about your issue or your negative thought loop and trying to categorize it, you actually shifted into using a different part of your brain. And this part of your brain, actually the part of your brain that's involved with experiencing an emotion around an issue and then connecting all of the memories and information to that issue, kind of connecting those dots, that's actually a different part of your brain than the part of your brain that you use to categorize the issue. So in other words, you literally just shifted out of being stuck and tangled up with that negative thought loop, and you shifted into something else. So hold on to that thought again, and hold on to the feeling, that kind of sense of relief or ease or just lightening, just could be subtle, but hold on to that as well, because we're going to keep going here and keep building on these ideas. So I need to pause just for a second and take a break, Christine. Just take a quick sip of water.
Sounds good.
So, like you just experienced, you can actually start making a shift simply by using a different part of your brain, by shifting the type of thought that you have about something. In this case, we went into a recollection of a feeling-based thought and into a kind of a categorizing, evaluative thought about it. So, now I want to take a few minutes to show you just how profound this can be for you, this shift, mentally, emotionally, and even physically. And it's actually worthwhile that we do this, because I think it's going to inspire you to really embrace all of these wonderful new adventures that you're embarking on in the process of taking this course. And I think this next little bit of information is going to show you how important it is to do it, to get yourself out there. So I'm going to spend just a few minutes telling you a story about a man named Bruce Lipton, Dr. Lipton. So he's a biologist and a stem cell researcher, who's done work in a variety of places, including Stanford University. Well, he wrote a book that maybe some of you have even heard of. It's called The Biology of Belief. He's written several books, but we're going to talk about that one for a minute here today. And in his research for the book, he actually shows us how our physical bodies are affected by our thoughts, our beliefs, and our emotions. Now, conceptually, many of us already know this, and in fact, even mainstream medicine is starting to acknowledge and accept that how we think and how we feel really does affect our health. Well, Dr. Lipton's book takes things much, much further because he actually connects the dots and specifically shows us how we're affected by our emotions and our thoughts and our beliefs, and he shows us how this happens even on a cellular level. In other words, our cells, the very cells in our bodies are involved in this process. So, you're probably wondering, okay, how does this relate to what we're talking about today and the PDF course? Well, it relates because it shows us just how deeply important it is for us to be able to shift out of those instances where we become upset because we're feeling stuck in our fear-based thinking. Or when we're upset from wrestling against the obstacles in our way or struggling, you know, with that internal conflict and criticism and self-doubt, et cetera, et cetera. So it matters because we can really use it as a motivation to learn how to shift out of those states of being upset and shift into something different. And like we talked about earlier, getting upset, and this is so important, getting upset is natural, but staying stuck there is what gets us. And this took me years to learn. I'll probably keep learning it for the rest of my life. Getting upset is normal. Having those reactions is normal and natural. And the challenge, the problem, you know, what gets us stuck is when we stay there. That's what makes us sick. That's what makes us depressed. And this is one of the amazing things, is that it does not have to be this way. In fact, like I mentioned earlier and kind of alluded to, it's not entirely our fault, essentially, because our brains are actually wired in such a way that causes this phenomenon to happen. So the good news is we can shift out of that place once we recognize that it's part of our neurology and we have the power to essentially make a shift, a conscious shift. So it's also important because it leads us to our next idea. A couple more quick tidbits about Dr. Lipton. And this is actually where it really starts getting us back into shifting into your own personal genius with your new wonderful creations here. So remember when we talked about self-protection a minute ago? You know, when we had a self-protective response to a new situation that we needed to kind of sort through and make sure was okay first, that initial fear, anxiety response, you know, the natural response to uncomfortable new events. Well, let's skip back to the book for just a minute. In the book, Dr. Lipton talks about how all of us innately have two general survival mechanisms. We all have them. They're part of us just as much as anything else. One of those survival mechanisms is growth, and the other is protection. In other words, growth, yeah, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought here. One is protection, and one is growth. And actually, they exist on a spectrum or a continuum. And here's an important little tidbit. We cannot be in both of these at the same time. So when we're in self-protection mode, in those fear-based thought loops, we cannot be in growth mode, and vice versa. When we're in growth mode, we're not in the range of the self-protection mode. And like I said, it's a spectrum, so we move up and down the scale, but we cannot be in two places on that scale at the same time. So thinking about these general survival mechanisms. Now, most of us already understand protection as a survival mechanism. It's pretty straightforward, right? We protect ourselves against danger, against threat, against harm, against the weather, you know, against nasty people, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Dr. Lipton in the book actually goes on to show us that growth is equally as important to survival. And actually, in fact, it's more important to survival than the self-protection thing. And also in the book, he again shows us how it actually happens even on the cellular level. But then he goes on to show how this kind of same metaphor and same pattern also happens at the individual level. In other words, you as an individual person. It also happens at the group level or the family level. It happens at the community level. And it even happens at the national or international level. The same pattern of growth versus protection, survival mechanisms, happens at all these different levels. So let me back up for just a second and tell you what I mean by growth, because it's an important distinction to make. When somebody is in growth mode, they're having an open exchange with the world around them. In other words, they're open and receptive, right? They're open and receptive to essentially various forms of energy. It can be money, it can be emotional connections, it can be interpersonal interactions, business exchanges, et cetera, et cetera. It can also be the exchange of new experiences, new thoughts and ideas, which are also an extremely important part of growth, is those new experiences, new thoughts, and new ideas. All of these are absolutely essential and life-sustaining ingredients in the long run. In other words, the key is openness and receptivity to exchange with the larger world. So, however, when somebody goes into self-protection mode, and especially when they stay there, and here's kind of the pivotal point, when they stay there, they end up keeping themselves closed off from the world around them. And I also, this was a painful one I had to learn on my own. And over the long run, there's no way for life-sustaining ingredients, essentially all these interactions, to get to the closed-off system that we create when we go into sustained protection mode. In other words, there's no way for those life-sustaining parts of life to get into a closed system or to a closed person when we're, like I said, in protection mode. And if it goes on too long, it can actually be fatal. It can be fatal to an organism. It can be fatal to a person. It can be fatal to a group. It can be fatal to a family. In fact, this was interesting in the book. Dr. Lipton actually used the events of September 11 as an example of what happens when groups of people go into that shutdown or self-protection mode in a really big way, and then they stay there, right? Like I said, the first initial response of self-protection is normal and natural. The problem is when we stay there. For example, the U.S. economy was doing really well prior to that event, but then within days of it happening, the economy came to a screeching halt, and the whole nation went into self-protection mode based on this fear response. And like we've seen, it stayed there for an extended period of time, again, as a result of fear. And it's just now, as you know, essentially starting to shift out of that mode. So you're probably wondering, well, why is this important? And here's why it's important. Like we keep bringing up, self-protection mode is what we shift into when we're faced with situations that trigger a fear-based or an anxiety response. In other words, when we get trapped in those negative thought loops. Protection mode is what we shift into when we're having an anxiety or a fear type of reaction. And like we talked about earlier, that's actually a natural, normal, healthy response. And that's such an important point. Because in other words, self-protection is one of our survival mechanisms, but only in the short run. It's a natural thing to have that response. But where we get into trouble is, like I said, when we stay in protection mode. So it's not a problem that we go into protection mode. The problem is staying there too long. So that begs the question, of course, how do we get out of protection mode? And we do that by shifting into growth. We essentially move along that spectrum that I talked about a minute ago, shifting away from fear and back into growth. And here's where it gets hugely profound, because if you think about it, shifting into growth happens when we shift into that state of openness and receptivity. And just like we talked about when we started today, we're essentially coming full circle to that place of genius, because we're talking about shifting back into that place of creativity and into that place of newness, into that place of new way of looking at things, and essentially having it be okay to jump into new experiences despite that initial self-protection, ideally short-term response. So in other words, we're talking about your other survival mechanism, which is growth. In other words, we're talking about your other survival mechanism, which is genius. And this just kind of continues to get me so excited because that's actually part of you. That's one of your survival mechanisms when you think about it in terms of it being part of your growth. So what I'm really, really trying to get at here is, and this is going to sound a little bit like a pep talk, but I just believe this so passionately, that you can do this. You can do what you're doing. You can do your work here with Christy, and you can get your cool stuff out there. You can explore your new ideas and new way of doing things and new experiences because genius is actually your other survival mechanism. If you think about it, by definition, genius is as much a part of you as anything else. It's innate. It's just, it's part of you. So, in fact, I actually believe it's the bigger part of you, the biggest part of you, by far the biggest part of you. So, then, that raises the next question, how do we do that? How do we shift back into, how do you shift back into your own personal genius, your innate personal genius? And especially when you find yourself trapped in those fear-based thought loops. So, I get so worked up about this. It's just so, you know, well, it changed my life. It just can be so transformative when we, you know, when we reframe our thinking. So, remember when we talked about taking a more loving and kind approach towards ourselves when issues of fear come up, rather than going into that tone of, you know, being antagonistic rather than vilifying fear and thrashing it and smashing it and saying we're going to just, you know, kick it to the curb, et cetera, et cetera. And how that attitude actually can do more harm than good, because it's like being at war with yourself rather than being your own best ally. Well, there's actually a very simple but supremely powerful antidote to fear, and it's going to be it's just so powerful and so transformative, and it's just so simple, and it's love. And I don't want to sound cliche, but it's essentially, that's the antidote to fear. It's love. It's learning how to have a kind, loving, encouraging dialogue with yourself. In other words, one that is loving and compassionate towards yourself and whatever's going on in present time. So it's learning how to have this different tone, different type of dialogue and relationship with yourself centered around love that basically just dissolves those fear loops, those thought loops of fear-based thinking. So, over my years of trial and error, I came up with two simple steps to getting there that I'm going to share with you that you can use from now on. And step number one is, and they're super easy. It's one of those mind-boggling things hidden in plain view, but sometimes those are the most profound, is just the simple, just pure things. So the first step is learning how to notice when you've gotten into that negative thought loop. And over time, learning how to notice it earlier and earlier and earlier on in the process, right? From 15 minutes of ranting and raving to 10 to 5 to 3 to, you know, noticing it within a minute or two. And then the second step of that is just a matter of shifting the way you're thinking about and the way you're feeling about the what you're dealing with by softening that conversation that you're having with yourself. In other words, moving it along that spectrum from protection into growth. Not instantaneously, but just incrementally. You know, from fear to a little less fear, to a little less fear, to a little less fear, to a little more towards growth, to a little more towards growth. It's kind of like slowly tipping the scale just through the process of having this compassionate, self-coaching dialogue with yourself. And like we kind of discovered and talked about earlier, part of this it's just so profound because we're literally starting to engage a different part of our brain when we help shift ourselves out of those thought loops. And we get out of those habit-based, fear-based loops and into a more loving internal conversation with ourselves, essentially. So, now when things aren't too challenging, sometimes you can literally just notice where you are, just notice that you're in that loop and stop the cycle just by noticing that you're doing it and start talking to yourself more compassionately, kind of in a free form type of a way. But, and I had to use this one a lot, this next one, when you're really stuck, I've also got a technique that, like I said, I really essentially had to invent for myself. And there are two easy steps to that. And like I mentioned, first is notice that you're in that negative thought loop. And here's a really important part. Rather than beating yourself up and criticizing yourself for, you know, yet again being in this place, I want you to congratulate yourself for noticing and for the fact that your brain is actually doing what it's designed to do. Right? It's thinking, and it's shifted into the part of the brain that's designed to do that type of thought. So yes, it may be kind of this repetitive, maybe even a little OCD type of thinking, but there's actually a neurological reason why it's doing that. So make a promise to yourself that from now on, there's no beating yourself up allowed anymore. Just congratulate yourself for the fact that you noticed. And this first step really helps shift your attention, essentially, and it wakes you up, in a sense, and it really brings you back into present time. And depending on kind of how extensive and how long that negative thought loop has been going on, you can physically feel it just when you notice and pull yourself back into your body and into present time and congratulate yourself for noticing and being aware of it. So then the next easy step is ask yourself these two simple questions. So you start with whatever that fear-based thought loop is and ask yourself this first question. Essentially what we're doing is now we're going to start talking back to, in a kind way, start having a conversation with that part of us that's in that negative thought loop. Right? We're talking to it. We're talking to the fear, in a sense. So the first question is this really relevant to what I'm doing now? Right? I mean, a lot of times it's not even relevant. And the answer to that does not matter, because what that first question does is, again, it shifts you out of the part of your brain that's obsessing over your issue or going into that fear mode. And it is basically the first step in getting you out of that fear-based self-protection mode. And like I said, interestingly enough, like we all know, a lot of times it's not even relevant to what we're doing. You know, we may be at the grocery store, but we're having this obsessive fear-based thought about our project when we're doing something completely unrelated. So just step one of asking that question, is it relevant enough, can kind of start tipping that internal conversation. And then the second question is this. It's how can I approach this from the perspective of growth. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. So what do I mean by growth? And actually, you can choose any word, anything for you that brings up a feeling of relief. In other words, anything that to you has meaning and acts as a symbol to represent a more open, receptive way of walking through your life. To give you an example, when I was kind of developing this and going through some challenges, some major challenges, I invented this technique. And what I did was I had been reading personal development and spiritual books for literally already 20 years. And I took them all out and essentially distilled all of what I read into what I call the 16 Habits of Genius. And sometimes I think about them as my 16 keys to co-creation. And, you know, just to give you an idea of what my list of 16 includes, you know, things like heart and purpose and belief and trust. So an example question would be, how can I approach this situation from the perspective of trust? And this is assuming that you do actually need to keep thinking about the issue, right? Because a lot of times when we wake up to that fear-based loop and realize it's not even relevant, we can just completely walk away from it and not put any more energy into it. But assuming that you do need to keep kind of stick with yourself and sort through the negative thought loop because it's relevant to what you're doing on or what you're relevant to what you're working on, then, you know, simply asking a question of how can I approach this situation from the perspective of, and then insert your word. I'm going to use trust as the example here. So you can essentially use whatever words are right for you. What you're aiming for is choosing words that help you feel better and help you achieve that sense of relief. In other words, words that help you move towards a feeling of openness and receptivity and ease and joy and creativity. Because what we're doing is we are reframing our thinking. And when we reframe our thinking in this way, especially when we put it in the form of a question, it can be profound because it essentially acts like a safety net for your thoughts. And the important part about this, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's so important to softly and gently and lovingly redirect your thoughts in a way that's kind and compassionate and, again, loving, which also helps you neurologically because it literally shifts the part of the brain that you're using. So what this does, it totally shifts the tone of your internal dialogue. And as you have that conversation, it leads you down the path towards adding layers and layers of better thinking and better thinking and better thinking, easier thinking, you know, easier thinking, relieved thinking. Essentially, it moves you along that spectrum that I mentioned earlier from self-protection, which is fear-based, into growth, which is, like we've kind of connected the dots now, growth is actually genius and creativity. In other words, your personal genius, your personal part of your, again, personal survival mechanism is that personal genius. So that's really one of the amazing things, is that these are both survival mechanisms. And this is kind of really, again, it just blew my mind when I realized these are both important parts of our survival, not just the protection, but the growth, you know, shifting into that openness and receptivity. In fact, growth in the long term is definitely by far the much more empowering and powerful one. And like I'm hoping I'm getting across, it's actually yours. It's innate to you. You have a personal genius already. It's simply a matter of kindly and lovingly talking yourself back into that perspective and feeling and a reality of being open and receptive to these new experiences and ideas and wonderful things in life. So that is, I'll stop there. That's what
okay.
I to share with you guys today.
That was great, Lauren. When you were talking about categorizing,
uh-huh.
I had my thing that's bugging me written down, and when I categorized it, I realized that it was an internal struggle. And what that brought up for me was, once I categorized it as an internal issue, then I realized I didn't need to be looking everywhere else for the answer, that the answer is in me. So it took that thing of the searching for the answer to my problem out in the world or in a book or somewhere out of the equation. So I thought that was very interesting insight for myself anyway.
That's massive. That's
yeah.
Because completely, you take complete control over that again, because, you know, the outside world is beyond your control. But that internal world you now can influence and shape in a way that's to your favor. That's awesome.
I don't know if anybody's still on the webcast. If you're on the webcast, you can put a question in the Q&A if you have a question. And if you're on the phone, it is *2 to raise your hand if you have any questions for Lauren. The other thing that came to me whenever you were talking about the noticing part is I've young kids. They're 9, but when they were little and they would have a freak out, which was essentially them going into their loop, you know, I would sometimes do things like really odd things just to get them out of that like loop. And this isn't exactly what you were talking about, but it's what brought up for me. So I would like, if they were having a fit when they were eating dinner or something, I would just like crawl under the table and they would be like, "Boo, what is she doing?" You know, and it would just flip that switch for them and put them in that thinking, like trying to figure out what my crazy mom is doing mode instead of the I'm having a fit because I don't like this food or whatever mode. Anyway.
Yeah. Kids are just so, the word that comes to mind when you describe that, the word is limber. You know, they're
yes.
just limber at that when they're that young because they can. I mean, and that happens all the time. You know, not too long ago I was just sitting and having coffee and a little boy dropped part of his latte and the whipped cream went on the parking lot and he just freaked out, you know, just, oh, he was red and he was just like, his body was just halted and, you know, and his dad just gently shifted the focus and within, you know, less than a minute he was having fun and they were going to go get another cookie. And, you know, it was just, they're just so limber at being able to make that shift.
Mm-hmm. And for me, like what you're saying about the dad, like he just knew what to do because he approached it as a loving thing. So it is that loving yourself kind of thing and saying, okay, well, if I was a toddler having this, this loop, what would I do? You know, I would distract myself or notice that I was having that loop. But, and the other thing I wanted to say was, your questions, the question, is it relevant to what I'm doing now in terms of like the workshop? I know that a lot of the stuff that I'm asking everybody to do, like go find a photo, that sometimes that they're getting stuck in this loop of worrying about the photo and worrying about the whole entire project versus just saying, okay, I don't need to worry about what I'm going to do with my PDF later. I just need to find a photo for this specific page. That's all. And so that step was, that's a really great question for them to say, okay, is this relevant to what I'm supposed to be doing right this moment? Maybe I'm supposed to be picking a color and instead I'm stressing out about how I'm going to get my PDF up on my website, which is
right.
a step that's 5 steps down the road instead of picking the color. So getting ahead of ourselves,
I think. That's a biggie. Because we get into that speculation, which, you know, again, based in self-protection, we're trying to kind of foresee any potential problems, but then only perpetuates that fear-based thought loop. And, you know, it's interesting, Christy, that you bring that up because if any of the people who are listening or if you yourself, I don't know if you've been there to laurenforrest.com yet, that's actually one of the things that I mentioned in that short story. And that was actually one of the things that my service dog taught me because I was literally afraid to leave my very own house because of what could happen to me when I would have a seizure. And she really helped love me back into the world. And, you know, the technique that I learned through that process was, you know, I didn't freak out. She essentially in her work, I was trained by a dog essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would shift my attention to just the next thing in the path. You know, so there was the door. I would leave the door. So rather than getting into the freak out mode about whether or not something bad's going to happen to me, she would just literally, you know, take us to the patch of flowers by the mailbox. You know, then you'd go to, that would be good. And then the next step in front, oh, there's some really neat patches of grass over there. You know, let's go chew on some of that. And then isn't this a beautiful tree a little bit further down here? And so it was, again, it was just keeping focused on the next thing in front of you and not speculating and trying to predict because it just, it can get, it's infinite. You know, your mind can run so many different scenarios that literally it's an infinite list of possibilities.
And I I use your kind of a offtake of your second question too. How can I approach this from? And I use fun a lot.
Oh, so, yeah.
With the people in the workshop, because I know that learning software is overwhelming and a lot of getting your PDF to look the way you want it to is actually learning that software. You have to go through that step. So, you know, making it fun is one of the things I say over and over. Okay, how can you make this fun? What if you have no expectations for how this page needs to look and you just set your timer for 5 minutes and you just throw a bunch of stuff on the page and color it different colors and make it stars and swirls and loops, and then that can get them out of being stuck in that overwhelm with the technology. It puts the focus on growth, like you said, instead mm-hmm. of, oh my gosh, I'm afraid of Word, or I'm afraid of pages today. So
right. Yeah. Yeah. What's this going to look like? And what if I make it too big or pick the wrong color? I mean, like I said, it's infinite. And I love your word of fun. That's a great one. That's great. And it's a really good example of choosing your own word that, you know, has meaning and value to you. That's something that in terms of feeling you resonate with, you know, because it shifts the way that you feel about the situation, which is basically the most important part of it is mm-hmm. shifting that the way that you're feeling physically and emotionally.
Yeah, so those were the biggest things that I noticed when you were talking through things that really stuck with me. And I know when I was listening to Lauren has a webinar up on her Shift into Genius site that you can listen to, you can sign up for and listen to, that this whole process that Lauren has feels like a habit that we have to just keep practicing in order to kind of get ourselves to use it. Is that kind of what you would say, Lauren, that it's a lifelong habit kind of thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a lifelong habit. So it's a lifelong practice, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like having it gives yourself options, you know, mm-hmm. how do I want to talk to myself about this? You know, I can be mean and stern, or I can be kind and loving. Just like the way that we can, you know, make the exact same choice when we're dealing with people outside mm-hmm. of us, you know, just like the father and the son example that we talked about in a minute ago. You know, the father chose to be loving and kind and patient with the son and kind of guide him through the sense of, you know, seeing that you can go get more whipped cream and, you know, just kind of we'll get some more. Actually, it wasn't a latte, it was a hot chocolate. But, you know, we can fix this mm-hmm. and or he could have just been impatient, you know, and stern and I told you to be careful. And so we have those choices with everybody else and we forget that we have that very same opportunity for choice with ourselves mm-hmm. as well.
That's great. Well, nobody has their hands up or any questions, so I think we will wrap up.
Okay.
I will post Lauren's, it's Shift, not Shifting, Shift into Genius website, a link to her Word Perfectionist and to her personal site, her laurenforrest.com. Whenever I send out the recording, I will link to those, and I'll also link to the Lipton book that you mentioned too, Lauren, Biology of Belief.
Yeah, Biology of Belief. Mm-hmm.
For you guys to check out. And Lauren, there's a lot more to her Shift into Genius process that she does. I know she's working on another round here in the future of the group workshop of this work. But she also does this one-on-one. So if you guys are interested in delving into this a little bit more in a one-on-one situation with Lauren, then, you know, check out her website, get in touch with her. And also if you need an editor or a copywriter, check out her services for those things as well. So any passing ending thoughts for us, Lauren, today? Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure. Yeah. I'm just really excited for everybody here because, you know, I've learned this so deeply that I know I can see from my vantage point, you know, how your personal genius is such just a massive innate part of you. And so, you know, just softening around the whole thing and, you know, completely just really changing the tone of how you deal with yourself and making it easier and lighter and softer and kinder and more compassionate. So essentially self-coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does. The goal is to have the kind, loving approach become the new habit, have that become the new default pattern. And it's totally within reach. And as well as, you know, your genius is part of you. So, you know, I just feel so happy for everybody because, you know, you're there. You have it. And it's just a matter of softening about things in terms of how you deal with yourself and letting it come out and have fun and get your wonderful things out into the world.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you so much, Lauren. Everybody else, I will see you over in our usual haunts on Facebook and in our last few calls of the workshop. So thanks so much, Lauren. I'm going to go ahead and end the recording, and everybody else, I will talk with you later.